Gantosh America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that is going to be bringing Mark Gantosh America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South in the days ahead. We've been talking in the last hour about a series of news stories as it relates to the Constitution, as it relates to the role of the Israel lobby, as it relates to a potential expansion of this war in the Middle East to include Iran, and as it relates to what Michael Collins Piper and I were talking about on his show last night on RBN, and that is the whole way in which it is entirely legitimate for Americans of the old right, constitutional right, America First persuasion, to speak out against things that quite clearly contradict our tradition. And it seems to me that when we look at this war in the Middle East, that it falls directly into that category, and that this is a war that no real conservative in the United States should be in support of, because of all of the presuppositions behind it that have nothing to do with the Constitution of the land, or with what George Washington had to say in terms of his farewell address. A little later on in this next hour, I'm going to be reading a portion of George Washington's farewell address from the March 7th and 12th American Free Press, and allowing those of you who have not had an opportunity to read this address before to actually consider the implications of what America's first president had to say on the whole question of a standing military, and what he had to say about a foreign policy that was not isolationism. I think it's important to understand that the avoidance of an interventionist, militaristic foreign policy is not isolationism. George Washington, on the one hand, indicated that we could be very well engaged and should be well engaged in fruitful commerce with foreign nations and in peaceful relationships with all, to the extent that that's possible. What he warned against was an ongoing involvement in other foreign nations' affairs that was not directly related to our national interest, and that would embroil us in things that would cause us to lose our old republic and cause us to lose our constitutional heritage. It is important that we go back to George Washington's farewell address, it seems to me, to see exactly what it was that the first president was warning us against, and to see that the first president of the United States has been absolutely correct in analyzing things from the late 18th century that have come fully home to roost as we begin the 21st century. Scott McConnell's piece then for the American Conservative indicates that it will be very difficult for top military officers to isolate themselves from currents of public opinion. It is far more likely that these military officers will find ways to raise meaningful speed bumps and roadblocks on the route to an expanded war if there is a large enough public outcry against it. Right now, there is not. Indeed, key Democrats and Republicans are maneuvering for applause lines in Herzliya as much as in Iowa. There remains a policy expert consensus that attacking Iran would be very foolish, but it is hardly loud and far from powerful. It has no political force behind it. That's why the truth defense floated on behalf of Wes Clark was important, and that's why the mockery that has greeted the American Jewish Committee's claim that Jews who criticize Israel are anti-Semites are such hopeful signs. They offer the possibility of a movement rising that could save the United States from compounding the errors it has already made. That involves you and me, folks, those who listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network and to this show, are among those that Scott McConnell has commissioned to speak out while there's yet time. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined at a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, by Harmony Grant of the National Prayer Network. We're going to be looking a little bit at Christian Zionism, talking a lot more potentially about this hate crimes legislation that's presently up there on Capitol Hill, what it is, who's behind it, what it might mean for you and me in the days ahead. And as I said before on this show, that legislation, in conjunction with proposed internet regulation, may well be two of the major components of a campaign on the part of the American political elite to shut off debate on topics that they don't want debated, particularly the war, and particularly the role of the Israeli lobby as a major impetus behind American foreign policy, which in turn has expressed itself in the last 4 years in terms of Mr. Bush's war on terror, as well as our intervention in Iraq itself. Here's a sad story, by the way. I'm going to divert for a moment from reading something from George Washington's farewell address, but keeping in mind what Scott McConnell has already said to us today from the American Conservative about the role of bloggers in contradicting the official line on events in the Middle East and with the Israel lobby. That's a very, very important piece. I hope that you get a chance to avail yourselves of it in the days ahead. That's Scott McConnell's piece for the American Conservative entitled Bloggers Versus the Lobby. Israel's propaganda fortress faces a surprising new challenge. McConnell, I think, is saying to us that we're having some effect out there. I believe that. I don't know how significant the effect is and whether or not it's going to be sufficient to curtail the direction that things seem to be headed in. But the point is that if you're listening to this broadcast, if you're reading the American Free Press, if you're listening to other RBN shows with other hosts talking on these issues, it is imperative that each and every one of you, as well as me, gets out there and says something to our elected representatives, says something to our family members and friends in the days ahead. In short, influencing that circle of friends and family members that we have, influencing other policymakers that we may have direct or indirect contact with, to draw attention to what is going on while there is yet time, and potentially in some small way, we may have some contribution to make in regard to the recovery of the American Republic. This is where it is. I think the situation is that serious. I hate to sound apocalyptic, but I think that this is really where we stand today. We are at the threshold of a situation that could destroy forever our opportunity to regain this country as we once knew it. Maybe that opportunity has already gone by the wayside. I don't know. Only God would know that. But I would say that McConnell's imploring today that we become involved in these matters, that we speak out, that we constructively raise our individual and collective voices while we can, is absolutely something that has been entrusted to you and to me as the remaining torchbearers for what was the old American right. We need to carry that torch and to carry it well and to carry it very effectively in the days that lie ahead because time is running out. And if there is time for a change in course, that change in course is only going to take place if we say what we say and write what we write and broadcast what we broadcast while we still have the time to do it as God gives us direction and strength. I wanted to divert just a minute from George Washington's farewell address. I did want to examine some of that text with you this morning. But here is a very, very tragic and sad piece that comes to us from Robert Bryce, B-R-Y-C-E, writing in the Texas Observer, posted March 16th. Alternet made me aware of this piece. They have it on their website at alternet.org. But the original source is Robert Bryce of the Texas Observer, posted May 16th. The title of this piece is Suicide Was the Only Way Out of Iraq for Colonel Westhusing. Writing in a suicide note, I am sullied no more. Over a life of lies and corruption in occupied Iraq, Ted Westhusing was a true believer, and that was his fatal flaw. A colonel in the U.S. Army, Westhusing had a good job teaching English at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. He was a devout Catholic who went to church nearly every Sunday. He had a wife and three young children. He didn't have to go to Iraq, but Westhusing was such a believer that he volunteered for what he thought was a noble cause. At West Point, Westhusing sought out people who opposed the war in an effort to change their minds. Quote, he absolutely believed that this was a just war, unquote, said one officer who was close to him. Quote, he was wholly enthusiastic about this mission, unquote. His tour of duty in Iraq was to last 6 months. About a month before he was to return to his family, on June the 5th, 2005, Westhusing was found dead in his trailer at Camp Dublin in Baghdad. At the time, he was the highest-ranking American soldier to die in Iraq. The Army's Criminal Investigation Command, reporting on Westhusing's death, explained it as a, quote, perforating gunshot wound of the head and manner of death was suicide, unquote. He was 44. In the ever-expanding tragedy of the Second Iraq War, the tragedy of Ted Westhusing is just one among tens of thousands. 4 years of warfare have decimated Iraq. Its economy and infrastructure are in ruins. Tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of Iraqis are dead. Hundreds of thousands more have fled the country. More than 20,000 American soldiers have been wounded and more than 3,000 killed. Yet among all of those tragedies, amid all the suffering and heartache, West Choosing's story stands out. It shows how one man's life and the fervent beliefs that defined it were crushed by the corruption and deceit that he saw around him. The disillusion that killed Ted West Choosing is part of the invoice that America will be paying long after the United States pulls its last troops out of Iraq. Some 846 American soldiers died in Iraq in 2005. Of those, 22 were suicides. West Choosing's suicide, like nearly every other, leaves the survivors asking the same questions. Why? And what was it that drove the deceased to such despair? In West Choosing's case, the answers go far beyond his personal struggles and straight to the heart of America's goals in Iraq. When he was in Iraq, West Choosing worked for one of the most famous generals in the U.S. military, David Petraeus. In January, Petraeus was appointed by President Bush to lead all U.S. forces in Iraq. As the head of counterterrorism and special operations under Petraeus, West Choosing oversaw the single most important task facing the U.S. military in Iraq then and now, training the Iraqi security forces. All the goals set out by Bush and his brand of neoconservative backers, a democratic Iraq, a safe and secure country that can support and govern itself, a country able to rebuild itself with its vast oil wealth, a place governed by pro-Western secular rulers who can provide a counterweight to Islamic extremists in the region, depend on America's ability to, quote, stand up, unquote, the Iraqi army and police force. Without a dependable security apparatus, none of these goals is achievable. When he arrived in Iraq, West Choosing discovered that just like the rest of Iraqi society, the Iraqi military and police are riven by religion. Religious hatred, Sunni versus Shiite, combined with the corruption that permeates Iraqi society, made his job impossible. 2 years before West Choosing left for Baghdad, he had finished his doctoral dissertation in philosophy at Emory University in Atlanta. The focus was on honor and the ethics of war. West Choosing wanted to understand arete, the ancient Greek word meaning virtue, skill, and excellence. His quest for understanding the concept was, he believed, a central part of his existence. Quote, born to be a warrior, I desire these answers not just for philosophical reasons, but for self-knowledge, unquote, he wrote. West Choosing did not find excellence or virtue in Iraq. That fact is evident in a 2-inch stack of documents obtained over the past 15 months under the Freedom of Information Act that provides many details of West Choosing's suicide. The pile includes interviews with West Choosing's co-workers, diagrams of his sleeping quarters, interviews with his family members, and partially redacted reports from the Army's Criminal Investigation Command and Inspector General. The documents echo the story told by West Choosing's friends. Quote, something he saw in Iraq drove him to this, unquote, one Army officer who was close to West Choosing said in an interview. Quote, the sum of what he saw going on drove him to take his own life. It's because he believed in duty, honor, and country that he's dead, unquote. The officer said that, quote, strength of character was Ted's defining characteristic. It was unflinching integrity, unquote. That integrity, he said, was also West Choosing's great flaw. Quote, to be a true flaw, the personality has to have great strength, and that characteristic caused his downfall, unquote. West Choosing was born in Dallas, one of 7 children. He went to grade school in La Porte near Houston until the 7th grade when his family moved to Tulsa. He was an outstanding student. He was the starting point guard on the basketball team at Jenks High School, a National Merit Scholar, and a devout Christian. He was a hard worker. He was so devoted to basketball that he would shoot 100 jump shots each morning before school. His work ethic, grades, and reputation gave him his pick of colleges. He was accepted at Notre Dame and Duke. He chose West Point. West Choosing's father had served in the Korean War and had later been in the Navy Reserve. West Choosing got to West Point in 1979, a time of major upheaval. The academy was still going through the aftershocks of a major cheating scandal. There was a tremendous emphasis on ethics and truthfulness. West Choosing loved it. As an underclassman, he was his company's honor representative on the cadet committee. In 1983, during his senior year, he was selected as the honor captain for the whole school, a position that made him the highest-ranking ethics official within the cadet corps. We'll be back on Mark Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Further examination of suicide being the only way out of Iraq for Colonel West using. Very sad post today on Alternet and on the Texas Observer. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been considering a number of news stories today, and at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, Harmony Grant is going to join us. She works with Ted Pike at the National Prayer Network. Harmony is going to be chatting with me a little bit about Christian Zionism and also talking about the hate crimes legislation that is currently up there on Capitol Hill, who's behind it, what it means, and what it's going to mean for you and me in the days ahead. And so she'll be bringing us up to speed on what's happening with that at the same time that we're also going into news stories today to underscore something that Mike Piper and I were talking about on his show last night on RBN, and that is the fact that opposition to the present course of the United States in the Middle East is not a leftist proposition. It's entirely consistent with the best principles of the old American right. And as we consider that issue and the whole issue of the creation of a Leviathan state domestically that threatens the constitutional rights of every American, it again is important to underscore what Mike Piper was saying last evening, that his resume and mine do not at all point in the direction of liberalism, leftism, socialism, collectivism, or Marxism. We're pro-American. We are, in the best sense of the word, constitutionalists. We simply want to see American foreign and domestic policy returned to the chains of the Constitution. And in that regard, it's important to underscore the fact that Mr. Bush and Mr. Bush's brand of Rockefeller Republicanism have not only gotten us involved in an unwinnable war of counterinsurgency in the Middle East, but Mr. Bush's brand of Republicanism has caused a 35% increase across the board in the size and cost of the federal government. It is Mr. Bush's brand of Republicanism that has led us to a situation where we have USA Patriot Acts and a Military Commissions Act of 2006 and unauthorized, illegal, unconstitutional spying on American citizens at the hands of the National Security Agency and other American intelligence agencies, as that revelation has come forth to us in the corporate-controlled American media in recent months. All of this then gets back to this very sad piece that we were looking at before the last commercial break. Robert Bryce in the Texas Observer posted this on the 16th of March. Alternet is now running it. It's entitled "The War on Iraq: Suicide Was the Only Way Out of Iraq for Colonel West Husing," talking about this very, very amazing and interesting man, Colonel Ted West Husing, who sadly enough ended his life over the Iraq situation. As we read through this story today, both at the Texas Observer and also at Alternet, it perhaps is a microcosm of the larger tragedy that is unfolding before our very eyes. But getting back to the text of this article and to Colonel West Husing's resume, we are told that as an underclassman at West Point, he was his company's honor representative on the cadet committee. In 1983, during his senior year, he was selected as the honor captain for the whole school, a position that made him the highest-ranking ethics official within the cadet corps. In that position, West Husing helped adjudicate all of the honor violations that came before the committee. That year, he graduated third in his class. From West Point, he went on to serve in the 82nd Airborne Division. He went to Ranger and Airborne schools and did stints in Italy, South Korea, and Honduras. He learned to speak Russian and Italian, and he continued his quest for intellectual excellence. In 2000, he went to Emory for a master's degree in philosophy. In 2002, he moved to Austin to take a six-week class in classical Greek at the University of Texas. West Husing and his Greek teacher at UT, Thomas Palaima, worked as consultants on a television documentary about the Trojan horse. At West Point, West Husing was comfortable in his teaching job. He had no reason to do anything else. He was at the pinnacle of his profession and doing a job he loved. But late 2004, he got a call from a former commander in the 82nd Airborne Division asking if he wanted to go to Iraq. West Husing didn't hesitate before saying yes. West Husing's father, Keith West Husing, would later tell T. Christian Miller, a reporter for the Los Angeles Times, that his son wanted to go to Iraq to obtain verification, quote-unquote. Going would make him a better soldier, his father is quoted as saying in Miller's recent book about corruption in Iraq entitled Blood Money. A stint in Iraq would, quote, lend authenticity to his status, not only as a soldier, but as an instructor at West Point, unquote. A fellow officer who worked with West Husing at West Point said in an interview that prior to leaving for Iraq, quote, Ted never swayed in his belief that the Iraq mission was both just and being performed correctly. He told me personally that he would stay longer than the assigned 6 months if necessary. Before leaving, he was engaged in intense debate with a senior philosophy professor in the department. Ted believed in the mission, while his counterpart had several questions as to whether Operation Iraqi Freedom met the standards of a just war, unquote. West Husing's wife, Michelle, later told investigators that her husband believed that, quote, going to Iraq would make him a better professor when he taught cadets who would likely be going over there. He thought we were doing a great thing in Iraq, unquote. The first stop on West Husing's deployment was Fort Benning, Georgia. He went through his medical exams, collected his equipment, and worked on his shooting skills. Mark Dankoff's America will be live again, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network when we return. We'll continue looking at the tragic fate of Colonel West Husing and get ready at the same time for Harmony Grant of the National Prayer Network at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, by Harmony Grant, who works with Ted Pike at the National Prayer Network. And Harmony and I are going to talk a little bit about Christian Zionism and cover some additional updates on this whole business of hate crimes legislation, what it means, who's behind it, what the agenda is, what it means for you and for me in the days ahead. We've also been talking a little bit about a theme that emerged on my appearance last night on Michael Collins Piper's show on the Republic Broadcasting Network, this whole business of opposing Bush-Rockefeller Republicanism generally, but explicitly opposing the interventionist neocon foreign policy in the Middle East and in Iraq, and of course also opposing this talk about a preemptive war with Iran. Not from the vantage point of leftism or socialism or pacifism or Marxism, but from the vantage point of the old American right, the old American republic, the warnings of George Washington in regard to his farewell address about staying out of foreign entanglements, maintaining friendship with all, entangling alliances with none. It seems to me that the text of that farewell address, which you can find in the American Free Press of March 7th and 12th, is absolutely essential in evaluating why people on the American right, the constitutional American right, have been speaking out in the last 4 or 5 years about this war in Iraq as something that was eating away against, eating away at the body politic, eating away at the Constitution, eating away at true national security, eating away at the soul of the American people. It seems to me that today's story on the suicide of Colonel Ted Westhusing, that is reported on by Robert Bryce in the Texas Observer, posted on March 16th and subsequently run on Alternet, is proof positive of the tragedy of this situation, or potentially, as we examine the very fine, very honorable life of Colonel Westhusing, we see the seeds of a much wider national disaster, potentially, if we don't get our own house in order, politically, culturally, spiritually, and constitutionally. Getting back then to the text of this piece of the Texas Observer, written by Robert Bryce, reposted again by Alternet this morning, the first stop on Colonel Westhusing's deployment to Iraq was Fort Benning, Georgia. He went through his medical exams, collected his equipment, and worked on his shooting skills. After so much time in the classroom, those skills were not sharp. According to documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, Westhusing scored just 170 in the combat pistol range when he was tested on January the 15th, 2005. If he had scored just 20 points lower, he would not have qualified. Nevertheless, Westhusing's first few weeks in Iraq were, he wrote to a friend, high adventure, quote-unquote. His formal title was Director, Counterterrorism, Counter-Special Operations, Civilian Police Assistance Training Team, Multinational Security Transition Command, Iraq. He liked working closely with his Iraqi counterparts and seemed to get along well with the contractors from Virginia-based U.S. Investigation Services, a private security company with contracts worth $79 million to help train Iraqi police units that were conducting special operations. The owners of the U.S. Investigation Service include the Carlyle Group, the powerful equity firm whose investors formerly included George Herbert Walker Bush and former Secretary of State James A. Baker III. In another message to a friend back home, he said that, quote, if you are not a strong character and know right from wrong, you will leave this place devastated in personal esteem and priceless human beings will be harmed, unquote. Westhusing worked under the supervision of two Army generals, Joseph Phil, a major general, 2 stars, and David Petraeus, a lieutenant general, with 3 stars. Petraeus was impressed with Westhusing. By 2005, Petraeus had become a darling of the U.S. media, thanks in part to his success in helping to stabilize and rebuild northern Iraq. Petraeus liked what he saw in Westhusing and promoted him from lieutenant colonel to full colonel. In a March 2005 email, Petraeus told Westhusing that he had, quote, already exceeded the very lofty expectations that all had for you, unquote. While the promotion was important, Westhusing was increasingly isolated. He did not have, as his fellow officer from West Point put it, a battle buddy, a person who, quote, looks out for his friend both physically and psychologically, unquote. The lack of personal support began to wear on Westhusing. His friends in the U.S. began seeing his mood darken. His emails became less frequent and more ominous. Westhusing began having increasingly contentious conflicts with the contractors from USIS. There were ongoing problems with USIS's expenses, and Westhusing was forced to deal with allegations that USIS had seen or participated in the killing of Iraqis. He received an anonymous letter claiming that USIS was cheating the military at every opportunity, that several hundred weapons assigned to the counterterrorism training program had disappeared, and that a number of radios, each of which cost $4,000, had also disappeared. The letter concluded that USIS was, quote, not providing what you are paying for, unquote, and that the entire training operation was a, quote, total failure, unquote. Westhusing was devastated. Even if the charges were accurate, there was little that could be done. Iraq had no functioning judicial system, And there were questions about jurisdiction in case the contractors were indicted. Les Husing wrote to his family telling them about the problems with the contractors and said he needed to talk to a lawyer about the issues he was handling. By late May, Les Husing was becoming despondent over what he was seeing. Steeped in and totally believing in the West Point credo that a cadet will, quote, not lie, cheat, or steal, nor tolerate those who do, unquote, Les Husing found himself surrounded by contractors who had no interest in his ideals. He asked family members to pray for him. In a phone call with his wife, Michelle, who was back at West Point, Les Husing told her he planned to tell Petraeus that he was going to quit. She pleaded with him just to finish his tour of duty and return home. Les Husing quit exercising, started chewing tobacco, and was increasingly withdrawn. His co-workers noted that he was fidgety. On the night of June 4th, one of the female contractors who worked with Les Husing said he appeared, quote, very tired, almost like he hadn't been sleeping, unquote, and was, quote, out of sorts, unquote, and scratching his legs quite a bit. The same person said that Les Husing had begun to, quote, play, examine his weapon, unquote, and that he seemed, quote, mesmerized, unquote, by his pistol. The same contractor mentioned that Les Husing talked about an ongoing problem with the Iraqis coming into the counterterrorism training program. The program was always at risk of being infiltrated by members of Iraqi militias, criminal gangs, and other elements. Les Husing asked the contractor for her thoughts about, quote, vetting the students prior to the course, unquote. The contractor said after the conversation, Les Husing sat in the office and would, quote, say aloud that he didn't know how to resolve the problem with the vetting issue. Only once did he address me directly. He said, quote, I just don't see a way to resolve this problem, unquote. A few minutes later, the female contractor said Les Husing stood up and started to examine his weapon again for about 5 minutes. The next morning on June 5th, Les Husing had one meeting at Camp Dublin with the contractors and another with government personnel. At the second meeting, he expressed his disgust with, quote, money-grubbing contractors, unquote, and said he had, quote, not come over to Iraq for this, unquote. Les Husing was slated to leave Camp Dublin after lunch. When he did not show up for a meeting, one of the contractors went looking for him. At about 1:15 in the afternoon, Les Husing was discovered in trailer 602A. Near his body was a note addressed to his commanders Petraeus and Phil. Written in large block letters, it read, quote, thanks for telling me it was a good day until I briefed you. You are only interested in your career and provide no support to your staff. No mission support and you don't care. I cannot support a mission that leads to corruption, human rights abuses, and liars. I am sullied. No more. I didn't volunteer to support corrupt, money-grubbing contractors, nor work for commanders only interested in themselves. I came to serve honorably and feel dishonored. I trust no Iraqi. I cannot live this way. All my love to my family, my wife, and my precious children. I love you and trust you only. Death before being dishonored anymore. Trust is essential. I don't know who to trust anymore. Why serve when you cannot accomplish the mission, when you no longer believe in the cause, when your every effort and breath to succeed meets with lies, lack of support, and selfishness? No more. Reevaluate yourselves, commanders. You are not what you think you are, and I know it. Colonel Ted West Husing. Postscript. Life needs trust. Trust is no more for me here in Iraq. Very tragic story coming to us today from Robert Bryce of the Texas Observer, posted on the 16th of March, reprinted on Alternet. The title of this post is Suicide Was the Only Way Out of Iraq for Colonel Les Husing. Interesting story because, in effect, he is saying that his trust in his commanders broke down, his trust in the system broke down. He felt that he could no longer operate in a situation where trust, mutual trust, had failed to survive what is going on in the Iraqi situation, and that life needs trust. I would say that in this great tragedy, perhaps are contained the seeds of hope. Going back again to what Lawrence Eagleburger was talking about on Nightline weeks ago when the Iraq Study Group report was first published, there is a tremendous crisis of confidence and a tremendous mistrust that we see today in America on the part of average Americans toward their government, toward centralized institutions of control. toward all of the policy elites and toward all of the elements of the establishment that we are conditioned and trained to support, be it in the military or the government or the educational institutions or the news media. I suggest that that mistrust is well placed, but does not have to result in catastrophe or death or self-immolation or suicide. That mistrust in our present institutions is, in my judgment, very firmly rooted in a biblical understanding of the nature of man, which is in turn based in a biblical doctrine of original sin. And it is that biblical anthropology that is reflected in the Constitution of the United States. If you look at the three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, it becomes increasingly clear that the founding fathers of this country recognized that too much centralized power in any particular place, be it an individual or an institution, was an ultimate threat to your liberty and to mine. Therefore, they enumerated the powers of the federal government. They basically said that the powers of the federal government, the jurisdiction of the federal government, lies in these enumerated powers and these alone. If the power is not specifically enumerated in the Constitution as being a prerogative of the federal government, it is not a prerogative of the federal government. It is something that is proscribed to the federal government. That's point number one. Point number two is that when you look at the federal government itself, it was divided into three branches, executive, legislative, and judicial, with checks and balances supposedly in play when it comes to all three of those branches of government. And in regard to the war-making powers of a chief executive, those war-making powers do not reside in a chief executive. They reside in a Congress of the United States, our elected representatives in the U.S. House, our representatives in the United States Senate. It is in this collective body of people known as the U.S. Congress that the decision must be reached as to whether or not the United States goes to war. And in this regard, that is not something that is decided constitutionally by one man. The notion that it is, which is a notion that increasingly has been with us since the Korean War, now has us at the point in this present quandary in Iraq, where we are looking not only at the disaster of the American intervention in Iraq from the vantage point of policy in the Middle East, from the vantage point of loss of life, from the vantage point not of the expenditure of $50 billion, but of $400 billion and counting, with the meter still running. Very credible estimates have been given to us on this show that the actual cost of this war by the time all is said and done, assuming that we don't attack Iran, is $2 trillion. Again, it's presently at about $400 billion with the meter running, but that in conjunction with all of the deaths and with all of the tragedies that we've seen in the last 4 years, with a complete inability of the United States to successfully occupy Iraq and to create a viable central government there, suggests that this is a policy whose wheels are coming off. Why is it coming off? For a variety of reasons related to the failure of our policy elite to understand the history and the culture of that part of the world. But it's also coming off, in my judgment, because the initial constitutional procedures for making a decision to go to war were systematically ignored in the run-up to March of 2003. False pretenses, yes. A false case made for war, going back to Colin Powell's speech before the UN, absolutely so. But even beyond all of that, there is again this constitutional issue. Where was the Congress of the United States? These people that are now talking about their present so-called opposition to the war in Iraq are in some cases, not all cases, but in some cases, the very people who voted for this policy in the run-up to the invasion of March 2003, and even more ominously, did not insist on an adherence to the Constitution of the United States, which explicitly puts the authority for making war on a foreign country with the Congress of the United States, and that policy has to specifically result in a congressionally sanctioned declaration of war that meets the constitutional standards of Article 1, Section 8. Secondarily, we see that in the so-called opposition to the Iraq war today, that no one is talking, for the most part. No one is talking about what Chalmers Johnson was speaking about on this show days ago, and that is that in order to have an effective policy to stop what is happening both in Iraq and potentially in Iran, there must be a process to defund what the president is doing. Where does that process of defunding originate? It quite clearly originates constitutionally with the Congress of the United States. Article 1, Section 8 is very clear. Congress controls the purse strings. Congress has the constitutional authority to cut off the money trail, a money trail which, by the way, involves a tremendous amount of money being borrowed from Asian central banks to fund this insane endeavor in the Middle East. So if we're going to stop this conflict, if we are going to return America to some vestige of a constitutional republic, we've got to defund this operation. And secondarily, we have to be involved with looking at the process of impeachment for those individuals who violated the Constitution of the United States in beginning this endeavor to begin with. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Harmony Grant of the National Prayer Network will join us at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been covering a series of news items in the last couple of hours, talking a little bit about some of my comments last night on Michael Collins Piper show on RBN that was coming to us from Washington, D.C. last evening, related to the way in which effective, responsible, I emphasize responsible, opposition to the neoconservative policy, foreign policy in the Middle East, and the Bush administration's implementation of that policy is not at all a leftist point of view. It is firmly rooted in the best tradition of the old American right, the old constitutional republic, and the original intent of the founding fathers of this country. Those are not leftist ideas. Certainly there are plenty of leftists who oppose the war. Those who do so from an honorable point of view, we affirm that. Those who oppose it for reasons that are not rooted in sound principles, we decry. But nonetheless, Mike Piper did a good job, I thought, last night of explaining and underscoring the fact that his opposition and mine to the Iraq War is rooted in a constitutional, pro-American, pro-American republic perspective that goes back to a basic Taft brand of republicanism. It's very interesting, isn't it, to go back to Robert Taft. That would make a great show in and of itself. I'd like to get somebody who is a really good Taft historian to come on this show for 3 hours and to discuss the life and history of Robert Taft and the legacy that he bequeathed to you and to me in regard to his attempts to stand up to this encroaching internationalism, both in the Republican Party as well as in the country as a whole. That was a sad situation, I think, in 1952 when Robert Taft did not win the Republican presidential nomination. His career arguably went into eclipse after that time. But suffice it to say that once again, his words appear to us as being absolutely prophetic now in conjunction with George Washington's farewell address, which again I was going to read a little bit from today in regard to the original text of that address. I may yet do that on Monday as we try to get to the bottom of this whole issue of why we as American conservatives and American constitutionalists oppose foreign involvements and interventions when those policies are not in the interest of this country and when those policies have not been verified and properly codified by a constitutional declaration of war, according to Article 1, Section 8. I was going to mention before Harmony comes on this morning from the National Prayer Network that you can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's republicbroadcasting.org and 1-800-724-2719. If you have a question or comment this morning, you can call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. 9443. We will be back on Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Harmony Grant, who works with Ted Pike at the National Prayer Network, will join me shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, to talk about hate crimes and to talk about Christian Zionism. Stay tuned.
Matthew.